I mean, what a phenomenal record. I mean, the thing that I'm always struck by the Beatles is just how eclectic it all was and how that eclecticism is gone. And if you handed in a record that was as eclectic sounding as that record now, the label wouldn't get it. Everybody wants this homogenized sonic nightmare, you know, where every track sounds the same and the intent stylistically and production-wise is the same and everything. I think the most profound effect that record and probably all Beatles records had on me was the eclecticism of it. Like, you could hear all the different influences pouring in. Rock tunes, Burt Bacharach tunes, country tunes. You know, you could just hear it all kind of mushing around in there, and how, and the way it came out filtered through their sensibility, their Liverpudlian sensibility is just, it's great. You know, what can you say? Mm-hmm. It's great. So, yeah, and then the obvious things about production, it's kind of the first record where kind of compression was used as a sonic tool, which may not mean anything to your listeners, but sort of the drums are overcompressed, so they're more in your face and they sound more powerful and sort of more mysterious than they had before. And, you know, all the things that have always been said about backwards tape loops. And, you know, it's clearly the first record where the studio started to become as much of an instrument as the instruments. So, and that's, I mean, that effect is still with us definitively. From this studio to people sitting in with GarageBand on their Macs, you know, changing the sounds of instruments. Yeah.
Because they were getting bass sounds for the first time. Somehow, something about the miking of bass and being able
Jeff
to...
Jeff Emmerich has talked about that, yeah. Well, the bass was always sort of tucked under in Beatles records. And yeah, it's the first time that they really wanted the bass to speak, or Paul certainly wanted the bass to speak. And we're glad he did, because there's some great bass playing on those records. There really is. When it came, I'm 52, so I was... When did it come out? 66?
66.
Right, so I would have been 13. Not quite, because I was born at the end of the year. 13, that's a great year. That's a great year to be getting into music. At the time, I just remember thinking like that it was more, it wasn't as accessible as everything before then. So I remember the first time I listened to it, I was a little thrown by it, except for the obvious songs like Yellow Submarine or the things that were accessible. But then I remember on the third listening, I remember thinking, like, how great it was. I think my favorite song was She Said, She Said. I can't tell you exactly why. It's just John. The chord changes. The shift from 4-4 to 3-4. All that was, I found, very compelling, you know. And then, of course, George's guitar lick to start, I Want to Tell You, has been one of my favorite guitar licks of all time. Just great. I mean, I remember... Yeah, I'm like, what is that? And I had to learn how to play it. It took me forever to learn how to play it, but just a great lick. So, yeah, I just, you know, Revolver is one of those records that everybody likes Revolver. Anybody who makes records and knows about Revolver, everybody says, what a great record. So it's sort of hard to think of something to say about it anymore. It's just one of the records that's been like Pet Sounds. It's like, you don't want to read anybody's take on Pet Sounds anymore. It's like, enough already, you know? Mm-hmm.
Well, maybe I shouldn't do this.
No. Go ahead, Paul. Do the piece. No, Revolver probably deserves it more than Pet Sounds, but not that I love Pet Sounds, but